This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. Time to go on the money with Chris DeSimeo and Dennis Haywood from Cincinnati's Social Security Solutions.
Welcome to the Winter Fun Drive, and winter it most certainly is, with about a dusting to an inch and a half, 2 inches, depending on where you live here in the tri-state. Market's not exactly chilling off, though, on Wall Street. The financial market's bubbling up and nearly percolating over, with earnings that continue to come in generally better than expected, including yesterday's release by Dow component Procter & Gamble, whose earnings topped estimates, and it was the upward revision of earnings forecasts there that got that company's shares off to a rousing start yesterday morning. Well, speaking of rousing starts and maximizing returns, almost everyone who has labored in the United States pays into something called FICA, the Federal Insurance Contributions Act, also known as Social Security. And it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show our friend Denny Haywood, who has crafted a living, actually, advising people on how to maximize their Social Security benefits. Denny worked at the Social Security Administration for nearly 30 years and has been on his own after retiring from the Social Security Administration, advising people on how to get the most out of what they have socked away. Denny is a graduate of Xavier University and proudly wears his X shirts generally. This is the first time I've seen you without one as a man. Oh, he's got the ring. Okay. Anyway, Denny, thanks for being with us this morning.
Pleasure to be here, Chris.
So, Denny, has anything changed? Did anything coming out of the tax law that was the fiscal cliff avoidance affect Social Security in any way, shape, or form?
Not yet, Chris. They haven't made any plans to do that.
Just wanted to make sure we got that behind us.
Right.
Okay. So now, let's say you have a typical couple who has paid into Social Security all their lives. They're approaching retirement. Neither of them have filed. And let's say they're pushing 65, 66. The full retirement age now is 66 in order to get full benefits. If both of them should pass away after a lifetime of earnings, after a lifetime of contributing to Social Security, if they should both pass away before filing for retirement benefits, how much will their survivors get?
Well, their survivors would get nothing.
Not even the $255?
Unless one of their survivors is a child that became disabled prior to age 22.
Okay.
That's a possibility. Okay. Other than that.
But there's a little funeral benefit, the $255.
Yeah, $255, right.
Which is, we'll just call that.
But
nothing.
They wouldn't get that if they both died. Okay. Because that's only payable to a living with spouse.
Oh, okay. Okay. So a lifetime of earnings then, and nothing happens. And so this is where the planning on how to maximize your benefits might spring from. In other words, who should retire earliest? Who should start claiming benefits? What's the earliest that someone who's worked a lifetime can file for benefits?
That would be at age 60 for widows and 62 for anyone else who's of retirement age.
What kind of haircut do you take if you decide, hey, I'm 62 years old. I've had it with this. I don't like driving in the snow anymore. I want to retire early. What kind of haircut does someone take?
If you're 62 and you're filing for a retirement benefit, you'll take about a 25% haircut.
Okay.
If you're a widow, you'll take about a 30% haircut if you file at age 60.
What happens then if, let's say, someone who has become widowed, and it doesn't have to be it could be a widow or widower. If you were a house husband and you had a successful wife, and so if you were a surviving spouse, you can file based on your deceased spouse's benefits as early as age 60.
Correct.
Unless there are children at home, then there's a little change with that. Is there not?
Right. That's a different benefit that's for widows and widowers with children in their care. So the children would get a benefit, 75% of the person's full retirement age benefit, and so would the widower.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, a widow who is an aged widow at age 60 and over that files at age 60 would take about a 30% haircut.
I wanted to make sure I understood this correctly because there's been a lot of discussion about this. Let's say you have someone who's a surviving spouse and there are children under the age of 18 at home. And this is a person who has a nice income. If they file for survivor benefits at age 60, their income is capped at a certain level without sacrificing some of those benefits. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's $15,120 a year gross.
$15,120.
For 2013, that's the limit for anyone receiving Social Security benefits that's not in their full retirement year.
Okay, so it's gone up.
Right.
And so every dollar you make above that, $15,120, you have to forfeit 50 cents on the dollar.
Exactly. Okay.
Now, do the benefits that go to your children, are they impacted by the surviving spouse's earnings?
No, everyone's looked at individually. So the surviving widow or wife, her benefits are affected by her earnings. Each child is affected by the child's earnings.
Okay, so the children's benefits are not affected by the surviving spouse making money.
Not at all.
So that number is a little higher this year than it was last year, too, $15,120.
It goes up about $500 a year.
Okay, interesting. So let's say then that someone is thinking of retiring. They're 60, you know, again, you have a married couple, they're 65, they're approaching. How do you engineer this glide path as you bring your plane in for a retirement landing? What are the questions that people should be asking?
That's an interesting question, because I do many of these retirement analysis for individuals and couples. And the first thing they've got to look at is, are you working? If you're working, how much are you making? Mm-hmm. And what are your retirement plans? Because if you're making $80,000 a year, you're not going to draw your Social Security benefit. But what are your plans? Then we can move on into what each individual can do.
Is there a special calculation that takes place? We just talked about the $15,120 limit if you file early. But is there a special calculation in the year in which you retire where the Social Security Administration may give you a break and allow you to make more?
In the year that you retire, okay, you've got a special situation that you can stop working in the middle of the year, and you might have made $50,000 up till then, and you decided to retire, let's say, June the 30th.
Let's say that's your birthday.
Right. And so you're done June the 30th, but you made well over the limit that year. Well, they give you a break, and the first year you retire, you can start drawing benefits effective July of that year, right through the end of the year, as long as you don't make over the monthly limit, which would be $15,120 divided by 12. So
let's say you retire on July 1. They take $15,120, divide it by 12. Let's say it's about
$1,260
a month. As long as you don't make more than that per month, then you can make $1 million a year before you retire. And they forgive all that. They don't even include
exactly.
that in the calculation?
Exactly. And let's make clear to people, what we're talking about with earnings is from a job or self-employment.
That's right. So it's only compensation. It's not retirement. It's not a pension. It's not IRA withdrawals. It's not anything like that. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so it's simply...
It's not a private pension.
Right. It's simply something that you make from your own self-employment or receive a W-2 for.
Right.
Now, let's say that, again, married couple, your spouse is still working. Do the spouse's earnings muddy up that calculation, or is it just simply on the retired worker?
It's simply on the retired worker.
So the spouse could be making $200,000 a year, and it won't impact the Social Security benefits of someone who files mid-year.
Right.
What are some of the other common ways then, or not so common ways, Denny Haywood, that people use to get a little more out of all this money that's been socked away over these years?
Well, one common way that I've experienced more than any other is when an individual is reaching close to age 66, and that's their full retirement year. So they can make $40,080 that year. They can make earned income. And what they can do, and an option that many exercise, is, for instance, the husband's going to wait until he's 70. He's going to take delayed retirement credits.
Why would anybody in their right mind do that?
Well, it's a good investment. He can keep on working, making as much money as he wants to, earnings, because now he's full retirement age, and let his benefit grow 8% a year for the next 4 years, which generally increases a high wage earner by $700 or $800 when they turn 70.
So the benefit grows by 8% per year.
Right.
If you hold off until you're age 70.
Right. Now, here's the interesting part. This person is not going to file an application, okay, for retirement benefits. He's just going to let his grow. But what he is going to do, if his wife is of retirement age and is receiving, he can file and restrict his application to spousal benefits only. Take half of hers through age 70 while his bills to the higher amount.
Interesting. Is this the file and suspend maneuver?
Or is that a
No, this is the file and restrict maneuver.
There are all sorts of dance steps with this.
Right.
So file and restrict.
Right. The file and suspend would be he's going to file and suspend so his wife can file and get half of his. So you got to look at which way's the better move for them to make, which way will they get the higher benefit.
Danny, in the last 30 seconds we have, anything kind of new and surprising that you've run into in your practice?
Yes. An interesting concept is to file and restrict your application and then draw half of your spouse's. And then when she reaches age 66, you file and suspend on your own account, stop the spousal benefits on her account, and she files and gets half the benefit on your account because that's the higher than you are receiving on your spouse's account. So it gets confusing.
Well, and that's why you have professionals such as you. So much to go into. Again, there will be a link to Denny's website from the WVXU.org website. And for Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.